so different sort of karakia today. I'm actually going to teach you one eventually, but just going to do the Lord's Prayer for karakia to start today. So, e tu, ki te karakia, e tu, stand up. So, well done, but do you know the Lord's Prayer? Of course you do. So, I did it. I did it at high speed last night because I wasn't anticipating anyone would say it with me, but of course you know, it's helpful to actually, if someone can join in, to allow them to, rather than go. Okay. Meta me karakia tātou. E tō mātou matua i te rangi. Kia tapu tō ingoa. Kia tai mai tō rangatiratanga. Kia mea tia tau e pai ai. Ki runga ki te whenua. Kia ri te anō ki tō te rangi. Hō mai ki a mātou aiene, he taro ma mātou mō tēnei rā. Murua o mātou hara, me mātou hoki e murune i o te hunga e harana ki a mātou. Aua hoki mātou e kawea ki whakawaia, engari whakaorangi a mātou i te kino. Nau hoki te rangatiratanga, te kaha me te kororia, ākea. Amen. E noho. So that's the delights of, as I keep on mentioning, this sort of, you know, what's become sort of quite artificial divisions in our society, especially working in the so-called secular education system, where what was normal 50 years ago to say the Lord's Prayer at the school assembly is now like this. But we had the interesting situation where our kaumātua at Tararua College was just happened to be the local ordained Catholic deacon. And so Joe Homaha is his name. He just launched, that was the karakia he knew best. So if you can imagine a school of 400 or 500 kids, about 100 or 200 of them knew the karakia, knew that with him, and you've got like the whole school saying this in Māori, the irony of sort of like, it's all good to do this in Māori, but it's like a little bit edgy if we do it in English. It's just part of where we're at as a society at the moment. Anyway, we're going to launch into, firstly, corrections. Oh, no, could you believe I made a mistake? It's hard to imagine, I know. We said it right, but we didn't write it right. because remember the very first song we did was Te Aroha. And when we said the word rangi marie, and look, part of the problem, I'm going to give a bit of an excuse, part of the problem is the writing of macrons in Māori can be a bit hit and miss, because people who speak the language well know how to say it without writing the macrons. And proofreading skills generally aren't amazing in our society, English, Pākehā or Māori, generally. But as soon as you say it, you actually go, oh, rangi marie. It's this, isn't it? Rangi marie. Because that's how we said it, rangi marie, not rangi marie. Because without that, it would be rangi marie, wouldn't it? Rangi marie. We just did a naturally long sound. Rangi marie. Which means we've got a couple of other corrections to make, haven't we? Because remember, that's the same idea of peace in Atan Māori, which is wishing someone a nice or a peaceful morning, happy morning, Atan Māori, and of course, Pō Māori. So we've had lots of peace and happiness already. And why Māori is a name, yeah, same thing exactly, yeah. So,
is that pushing them?
Rangi Māori. So just that lengthening thing of the vowel. Rangi Māori. But we did that when we were saying it anyway.
If you were to write it a double letter.
Yeah. So I avoid double letters because that's how some people do it. I'll just show you that. Some people do it like this. And it just can be a little bit off-putting.
Yeah.
Most have gone to the system of macrons, but I know that some prefer that. Just to emphasise it. Yeah.
Or as a reminder for yourself that's what the
macron means. Yeah, so that's another way of describing it.
That line was Mete
Rangi. Mete Rangi Marie.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it should.
Yeah, so it should, in the song it should have, you know, when
the
we write
Mekala
with Rangi Marie.
And then the, oh, you're just writing other words.
Yeah, I'm just writing other words here, because as well as that, we had the greeting, Ata Marie, last week.
Yes.
Good morning.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
yes.
So it's got to apply to that.
I thought it was a
I'm just picking up all, these are all the mistakes. So in the song you had that word, in
yes.
the greeting you had this, Ata Marie. And we had the poor Maria and the good night. But we were saying it the right way.
Yes.
Just saying. So, you know, you copy how someone speaks anyway. Okay. So just repeating some of those greetings after me. Then, kia ora.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Remember that running together. Remember it's like good on you and go well and all sorts of things, not just a hello. Okay. And that... The morning, which is morena, and that emphasis, that stress on the first part. So morena.
Morena.
Morena. Takes a while to get that,
yes.
because we've spent so long reading it and going, oh, morena, or morena, morena. You know, and so the stress is everything. Remember what you're doing is you're trying to imitate the English word. And the English word morning has the accent on the first
yes.
syllable, morning. So that's where the... accent has to go for the copying it. Morena. Okay? And of course, you can't put the R and the N right beside each other because. Yeah. So, that you notice also there's only certain consonant combinations you have in Māori. That's one, and that's another, and that's about it. But they are really, you could say that they are actually consonant, they're actually their own consonants. No, it's actually like a, it's like a, that's like a letter. By itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
a different sound to n, and that is a different sound to ha or wa, depending on where you're coming from. Okay? But in every other case, there's going to be a vowel after it. Constant. Okay. So, so after me, then to it, morena.
Morena.
Okay, which is not an appropriate thing to say this afternoon because we're in the afternoon. That's okay. Atamarie.
Atamarie.
Poor Marie.
Poor
Marie. Which is a good thing to say when you say goodbye at the evening class, because you'd be wishing people to have a pleasant sleep and so on afterwards. We're going to venture into the next two lines of Ehoa Atu. Okay, so we wrote last time, we wrote down Ehoa Atu. So let's just do a little bit of a quick revision of that. So it was...
I've got your English version of it in my head.
Oh, okay. God. Oh, yeah. You've got to think of it next time you see it. Yeah. So, e-hoa, e-hoa. I think we put a map on over there. E-hoa. Up to our...
Hang on. E-hoa.
E-hoa.
So,
Jehovah. So,
what's the macro
of the A? E-hoa. Jehovah. It's just like a just a little thing. E-hoa. Yeah. Otherwise,
but
it would be Ehoa. So it's just to make it.
Isn't the O got a macronym?
Well? I'm looking for that. I'm expecting that myself. I haven't come across it. When I come across someone writing it,
I've never even seen a macronym there.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm copying from what I've read, and I want to get a definitive on that.
I think you'll find it a bit different from around.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll just go with the flow of it on that. We'll just sing it with you. When you sing it, of course, it's a certain length anyway, because the notes are a certain length.
But then you don't really want to do that, because that's not how you spell it with a macron.
Yeah, I've come across it spelled like that, so I just wouldn't want to...
Okay.
Okay, Ehoa Atua, capital letter, because it's God as in the name of God. Oma Iwi. Oma Iwi.
You don't say Jehovah, you say
Yeah, that's
Jehovah.
Right. I'm very aware of that, yeah. So
I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's wrong.
No, I'm aware of that, but that's what
I'm coming across.
Just not right.
It's not right.
I don't mind. All of everything I learned about stress.
So the idea is to put the stress on the right syllable.
Not on your wife. Yeah, thank you.
Omaiwi Matara of the peoples of the nations,
yes,
namely us. Okay, so let's get into the next part of our... Okay, ata whakaronga. Okay, ata. So with Māori, we should be able to spell it from the way we hear it, right? We
don't pick it.
Ata, right. Ata,
ata.
Whakaronga. Whaka? W-A...
A.K.A. Rongo.
Rongo. R-O.
N-G-O.
O-N-A.
Whakarongo
na.
Na. Not na, but just na. So you have two different sounds. And so na. Okay. So, what on earth does this mean? Okay, so this word here means listen. That part there anyway means listen.
Listen.
Listen. And when you put the word ata, you think, well, ata, isn't that morning? Now, just a warning in Māori, you've got fewer words than in Pākehā. You've got fewer letter combinations. So the same syllable has to work a lot harder. So you can have a little word like ata, or a word like rau, or a word like rua, or whatever. And you think, didn't it mean this? And actually, we get this English sometimes, don't we? We get words that... You know, just single syllable words that end up meaning about five different things. But in Māori, part of the issue here is just the limited number of different possible syllables. Or how one word can be thought of as applying in another context, okay? So, ata is, when it's joined with whakarongo, is carefully. So it's not just listen, but listen carefully. So, it means listen carefully when it goes with that word there. Okay?
Carefully listen.
Carefully listen, okay? So, and the na is really interesting because I would be used to, with a class, saying whakarongo or even whakarongo mai, listen here or listen to me, and that would be a command, isn't it? A command, whakarongo mai, listen class, or as we did before with that command, e tu, stand up, and e noho, sit down, you know, stand up, sit down, listen. These are all commands. But often in Māori, when you're giving commands, or certain words in certain situations, you have endings on the verb. So this is a verb, right? This is a verb.
Yes.
Like do something. And this is like an ending, and I'll just put ending. It's an ending used sometimes for a command, and when I say command, if you're a languages person, I'm a languages teacher, you know what's called an imperative, okay? Are you remembering some of your languages stuff now when I say that? Imperative. Okay, so it's to change it to an imperative, a command. It's also sometimes used, and here you'll love this, as a passive ending. There you go for your languages people, but we'll get to that much later down the track. And those endings vary depending on the verbs, and we're going to hit another one before the end of the song.
So the ending is those last three letters?
No, that's two.
Oh, N-A. Just the last
one. Just those two. Whakarongo is the verb that means listen, and the na is an ending on it. So what are you saying here? So just think what you're saying. You're starting off saying God, you're praying to God, God, God of the nations, listen carefully. Okay, so that's the bit of the song. So you've missed out the at thy feet in the bonds of love we meet.
Yes.
You've gone straight to hear our voices. Do you see what I mean? Listen. So listen to us. Now you might think, why not? You're praying to God and you're telling God what to do. But that's actually what praying is. It's actually imploring someone. It's saying, forgive me. Or, you know, hear me, O God. You know, it's actually, we forget that. In the language of prayer, it involves that sort of voice. Okay? So not that we're saying we're God and telling God what to do, but it's that language of, please do this, do this.
Yeah, lamenting.
Yeah, it's, well, it's, yeah, crying out. Yeah. Crying out, isn't it? So after whakarongo na, now, the next bit is tricky. me arrojando. Okay. So, you know what other is, don't you?
No.
I've got that all well done. That'll be good. Now, this is where it gets tricky. Because aloha, in Māori, you're going to often move with words that sort of double as nouns and as adjectives and verbs all at the same time. Which is, if you want, you know, which is just how the language works. So aloha might be a verb as it is here.
Yes.
Probably, possibly, hopefully. Or it might be an adjective, you know, just putting beside a word to describe something. Or it might just be the noun in love itself. So we're just going to unpack all this. Noa, do you know in Māori what tapu means?
Yes.
Sacred?
Untouchable.
Pardon?
Untouchable.
Untouchable. It's good, isn't it? So holy, but often in the sense of a restriction or limits placed on it. Don't touch that, it's tapu. Okay, taboo. Yeah, of course, because that's the Hawaiian word, and Hawaiian is about 70% the same as Māori, which is one of the closest languages to Māori. So the word that's opposite to that is noa. So, you know, in Māori cultural world, the space that you have, a wānanga, a classroom, a lesson time, is regarded as tapu, like a meeting house where you just are speaking and so on, as opposed to a dining room, which might be where you have food and the food wouldn't come. This sort of, you know, awareness of different categories in different places, we would also call it just right time, right place sort of stuff, okay? So, concept here, so noa is, you could say, well, it's, if that's sacred, that's profane, but it's not really like so much as restricted or ordinary. In other words, in this context, sort of without limits. Does that make sense? Or, if you're thinking of the love of God, maybe a love that comes down. So, aroha noa, together, means like grace, or being gracious. So, it's freely. It's like when you freely love someone. Does that make sense? Because, again, there's no tapu sort of limits. There's not no special things about it. It's just like love that flows freely. So that's what, in this case, that's how I've got to translate that. So you can see that that sort of word, in fact, virtually any word in any language, you sort of try to translate depending on the context of the other words it's with. Now, mehe could be one of two things. So either the guy that wrote this, who remember was a Pākehā guy, Māori Land Court judge, 1878, either he is meaning that, you know, that song, Te Araha, Te Whakapono, Me te rangi mari, and, you know, so was it love, faith, and peace, which means sort of and with. So, you know, listen to us with grace or with love. But you'd normally have a te there, so that's one understanding of that. But there's another word thing that me means in mind, that is at the start of the sentence, it means. And I used it before, I said, me karakia tātou, me inoi tātou. Let's do this, or we should do this, or we ought to do this. Okay, it has some. Yeah, and so it can mean either of those. It's so this could be, I'm going to put, and I don't know how different people understand it, so I'll get some lessons
on it.
So
it's like and.
So, yeah,
with.
Like and or with.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put with, question mark, or should. Question mark.
Depending on context.
So you might interpret it either way. So so either listen carefully, please listen to us, or please, you can think of this as please, listen to us with grace, or listen and you should, please, you know, be gracious to us. So what's the English part of that? Hear our voices, we entreat. I guess it's that word entreat, isn't it? Because when we sing, there's so many words in the God Defend New Zealand that are actually old English words, and we don't really get the meaning of it. Now, think of the word entreat.
Beg.
What does it mean? It's beg, isn't it? Exactly. But It's just a fancy word in God Defend New Zealand. We don't sing it and go, we think, you know, hear our voices, we beg.
Yeah.
Like, we beg you, Lord, we beseech you. You know, because that's the language, isn't it? So it's sort of lost the edge of it. So anyway, that's sort of what we're getting at here. So it's about asking God to listen to us with grace, with love, with, and listen carefully to us, please. You know, like, hear our, in other words, hear our cry. This is actually, this is what the lament almost that Ngāpe's talking about here, is you know, it's an urgent prayer. Which, of course, misses out the previous two lines in English, but that's okay. Okay, and of course, the other thing the writer has tried to do is to rhyme it in Māori, like it rhymes in English. So, God of nations, at thy feet, in the bonds of love we meet, hear our voices, we entreat. God, defend our free land. And obviously, it hasn't been said at all, because we're up to that fourth line, aren't we, here? And we haven't said that at all. Okay? So, instead, it's Eho Atua, O Ngaiwi Mātaura, Ata Whakarongonā. See how the writer's rhyming it in Māori? Me aroha noa. Okay? So, that's noa, but that's not, doesn't have to rhyme noa. Okay, so that's where we've come to so far. So now you know what you're singing. You're praying earnestly while you're out there in the rugby stand. it's always great, isn't it, to sing that just before a rather violent sport. You know, in the bonds of love we meet. You know, we're about to completely maul each other to
see me dead. But if you think about it in the context of who we are as believers, Māori always start and finish with karakia,
and
a waiata like that, and that is about preparing the way, always.
Mm.
You know, I think people forget that it is something that is embedded into the culture where we don't start the day without karakia. And what do we learn when we come to church?
Yeah.
Who's the first person we should talk to?
Yeah. But there's another part of that, which, of course, in Pākehā culture, it used to be normal.
Yeah, well,
so you would have at school assembly,
you would have
a prayer at the start of the day.
That's
so this is another really interesting part of this whole journey, and part of the reason, of course, that we're keen to do this here, is because, you know, in our society, whether you personally believed or not, there was not the issue. Yeah. It was simply said.
Absolutely.
And in a similar way, you know, like, this is what we do.
Religious.
This is what we do, yeah. I just want to also just, there's a couple of things just to finish off with, which, before we do those, like, with place names, but before we do those, just do a bit more speaking here. Do we remember our where from and all that? So, no, we're about, I know Winner's from, where do you want to say you're from, by the way?
North Scotland.
Yeah, okay, so we'll all pretend we win and answer the question. Okay, so nō hea koe, nō tokoro aho. What is Ngāpe was saying last week, oh, it's just is equally valid in that, and we'll meet that too. So nō hea koe, nō tokoro aho. Nō hea koe, nō. And by the way, if you're sorry, nō where?
Nowhere.
Nō somewhere aho. Where are you from?
Where are you from?
Where are you from? This is the where you're from question.
All over the place, yeah.
So it's interesting, isn't it? Because for Māori, it might be where you're born or where even where your whānau comes from. And you might think of that. But yeah, it's a different sort of identity of us. And I found out after I came to Taranaki, maybe I'm sort of from here, even though I wasn't even born here. You know, but yeah. Anybody want to give us an answer? No here, koe?
No, Auckland,
aho. No, Auckland, aho. Okay. No here, koe?
No, Waitara,
aho. No here, koe?
No,
Mutu Aho. And then also that response to the. So repeating that question after me. No hea koe. No hea koe. No apahat aho. No apahat aho. That's me. Okay. Born there anyway, sort of. And then also the response to the question about your name. Okay. Ko wai to ingoa. So just repeat the question after me. Ko wai to ingoa. Ko wai to ingoa. Okay, so ko Jenny aho. Okay, so ko wai to ingoa.
Ko Gail aho.
Kia ora. Ko wai to ingoa. Ko. Your name. So your name. Your name. No, your name. So ko wai to ingoa. Ko Lynn aho. Ko wai to ingoa.
Ko Isabella aho.
Ko wai to ingoa.
Ko
Kia ora, ko ora, tōi mō. Oh, you didn't think I should know a name by now, but obviously need to sign. Okay. And just introduce yourself, and just to finish off a couple of these place names. So can you tell me what that name is? It's Taranaki. Okay, right, woohoo, we're speaking two languages now. Let's call it Taranaki. Okay, Taranaki. And over here we had that Ngamotu, so together.
Ngamotu.
Oh, kia ora. So we had those written up already. I want to teach you two more today. Two lovely rivers, streams. We won't go to the hard one. We'll just go to this one down the road. This was my signal that New Plymouth people weren't really into pronouncing Māori names properly. When I came and said, oh, I live in Hirotaki Street. And I went, oh, okay. Hirotaki, right. Okay, so Huatoki. 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 Okay, and various ideas on this. Hua is like fruit or can be all sorts of other things, but that's one of the ideas. Toki could be short for tea toki. It's a type of tree. Could have been lots of those down there. Or maybe toki are adzes, and maybe this is just a place where a lot of adzes, and that might make sense because there's stones down there at the river, which you might make into adzes. Who knows? A little bit lost in time, that one. And of course, sometimes there can be more than one reason anyway. And then the other one I want to tell you, we're going to say it first before we write it. Because like the Morena, sometimes you've seen something written so often that you actually have lost, you know what I mean? You see it and your mind goes, oh, I know how to say that in English. So here's the next one. So the word is hair.
Hair.
Hair. Together? Hair.
Hair.
Hair. Hair. Hair. Okay, and then on the end of that, nu.
Nui.
Hair nui. Hair nui. Okay, after again. Hair nui. Hair nui. Te hair nui. Te hair nui. Thank you. So, te he nui, te he nui. Te he nui.
Te a nui.
No! Oh, te a nui, yeah.
Pretty much.
Te he nui. Oh, te a nui, yeah. And you, look, you can see why you do that if you're an English speaker, because you just start to go, oh, te, te. You're saying te instead of te. Then you're saying the, te, he, nui, you know, so. You can. That's a logical guess, isn't it? Te Anui. So Te He Anui. So just a little bit about what this name means. Nui, you possibly know, means what? Big. Okay, so it's something big. He is a mistake or an error.
A wrong big.
Like going the wrong way or in ngā mahi he, the things you do wrong. So He Nui, if you go down to the walkway, you'll see a sign there and it describes why that name or how it came about. We're talking a bit of tribal warfare and a group attacking another group that they thought were the enemy and weren't. And so the name, the river which had a previous name, was renamed, or that spot was renamed to He Nui, a big mistake. So you can imagine it had been quite a traumatising experience, and so the name picks up, you know, some of the grief of that, and the sort of like reminder, maybe a reminder also, like, you know, so a bit of a friendly fire incident in the local iwi history here.
So just put a map.
Yeah, so Te He Nui. Sorry, yeah, that's me trying to put a map on this failing. Te He Nui. And you can see in this case that's actually really important to get that Te He Nui. Yeah. So Te Anui sort of sounds, doesn't really very close to that at all. But, you know, this is exactly, you know, when I think Peter was talking about, does that mean I'm not allowed to say that? Look, language is about communication.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. If you're in a situation when saying Te He Nui would mean, what? Where? You know, then you'd sort of have to. And so it is a valid view that if you're speaking English, this is an Englishified, anglicised version, pronunciation of Te He Nui.
Yeah.
Just the same as, you know, Waikato is for Waikato and Taranaki is for Taranaki. Yeah. And so these are, like we're talking about here, is either say you would say it if you're in a situation where that was a good thing to do in a course.
Switching the English brain. It's switching the English brain. So when you do the vowels, and you go through a hakamana, when you go through that, you start and you do that there about 3 or 4 times, and then the brain actually goes, okay, we're kicking over.
That's it.
And so what when you do look at it, even if you look at it like that, an A in English is still A.
Yeah.
That's
it. You're in that mode.
Recently, the news on TV is putting in more and more Maori words, and I've got no problem with that. But one night recently, they pronounced Whangarei, like Park Bay, Dragon.
A lot of the Māori place names had macrons.
Yeah, so that's a good example.
In time, they were taken off.
Yeah.
So, and it costs a lot to do those signs too, the street signs.
Yes.
And that's why there's been a big kick up about that's going to cost X amount of dollars to put the macron name.
Yeah.
And that's how come people didn't realise that the correct way to say it is whanare, because the macron was actually missing.
So, you know, part of what we're actually about here in this whole language learning exercise is actually the whole treaty partnership thing. Because what it's saying is that it's a system of, excuse me, I'll say it Whanganui if I want to, and I'll say it Waikato if I want to, is almost like saying, well, I'm sorry, we're in charge here now, we'll do it the way we want to do, you don't get a say. And so what we're really doing is saying, actually there is a way of saying this is the local language and it does belong here. And we are partners, not, you know, we win, we're the majority sort of thing. And to like, that's how you say it. Okay. But the process of where everyone would understand that is a longer one, of course. And I mean, when I think about the fact that in Pitaru, it's normal now for people to say Pitaru. Because in Pitaru, that's how far they've moved towards saying. They don't say Pitaru.
Exactly.
It's the same thing, isn't it? So, you know, and then some people think, oh, who do you think you are? You know, so, and so it becomes this sensitive thing, you know, but it's all we're doing here is saying, well, this is what it is, this is what we've turned it into, trying to relearn, and of course at the same time, what it even means, you know, like this place has significance and, you know.
From another perspective, for those I think who are still adamant about wanting to learn it, I turn it around and look at it from what it's doing to the brain. So every time you learn something new, the brain is creating new brain cells.
Mm.
So if for any other reason you learn Te Reo, learn it for that, because that's all part and parcel of keeping our brains healthy and moving along for those reasons. So, you know, it could be French, German, whatever you are learning, learn it from that way of thinking too, but also to understanding the culture, because there's a depth to a lot of these words.
Mm.
Kia ora is one of them. Kia ora is similar to shalom, and so shalom's not just peace. There's another layer to shalom, and kia ora is the same thing.
And of course, once you say that word in that mode, you are stepping a little bit out of your own world, monolingual world, and just a little wee baby step into another world and another way of thinking and speaking. And of course, once you do it once or twice, sometimes I go for a lesson here, and then much more when I go down the road or down to school, I say, oh, kia ora te nā koe, and I'm actually, because I've just got into that mode a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, if you're just in that English speaking mode.
My cousin said to me the other day, because I got a phone call, and it's quite typical of someone that's switching between both languages, and the phone call, that they were following us down to Chaos Cafe, and I went, can I hear you? So I was, where are you?
Well, we had a modern language teacher at Pitaru. who was very, very fluent in speaking. He was like from back in the old days, 1950s. And he was like, and so he, a lot of the modern Māori was like not the way he learned to speak in sign. Anyway, he used to sometimes mock our very basic Māori by saying, on the phone, keep the good.
She prays me, she goes, I know you're getting it now.
Okay, e tū ki te waiata. E tū ki te waiata. Stand up and sing. Woohoo! That's something we've just been doing today.